Turks, Cenk Ugranek is pairing with you guys. Is it a bananas show? Sure, fine, it is. You win. Especially because later in the program, Democratic leadership doing the right thing in an unprecedented way.
Do you believe it?
We got to talk about it. That's what we do. We're paid to talk about it, kind of. But it does look real. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting. Democratic leadership cracking down on conservative Democrats. I've never seen it before in my life, literally. And so that's in today's show. And so you guys get to see it with your own eyes. And then, of course, Democratic leadership doing what they normally do, which is giant fundraisers no matter what. So we've got that too. Trump doing something that he gets punished for by Republicans. Lots of things on the show. Mm-hmm. Casper.
I gotta say, though, before we get started, not looking like your European soccer star. What's going on here?
I know, right?
Your hair is
out of control.
Fluffy. Hair looking real fluffy.
No,
today.
No, it's fluffy. It's true. I even wrote it down on my to-do list. Get haircut. And you guys see it with your own eyes. What do you think? I'm going to lie to you? No, we do honest programming here. That's our trademark. We invented honest news.
By the way, I love how responsible and hardworking our team is. Like, they're ready to go. We start off with Afghanistan. They got the Afghanistan B-roll ready to go. And I'm talking about Cenk Uygur's hair.
Look, hashtag fluffy. I don't think I want to start that. Do I want to start that? I don't want
you
to start that.
You do not want to start
okay.
that. Let's actually begin with our top story today, of course, which is the update on Afghanistan. And there are bad influences in the Biden administration and around the world. The Biden administration is expected to be pressured by our foreign allies in the G7 to maintain US troops in Afghanistan past the August 31st deadline to withdraw all troops. Now, there is supposed to be a G7 meeting tomorrow, Tuesday morning, and here's what we know about it so far. Efforts to press Biden into extending the timeline are expected to be led by Prime Minister Boris Johnson, of course, the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson. There's an expectation as well that French President Emmanuel Macron and German Chancellor Angela Merkel will also apply pressure. Macron, in a phone call with Biden last week, told the US president the West bore a moral responsibility with regard to Afghans who need protection and share their values, which is an interesting statement to make. I do believe that the United States bears some responsibility in terms of refugees, considering the fact that we, along with our foreign allies, decided to invade that country and further destabilize it. And now we have a refugee crisis where all of the European countries that were involved, and certainly the United States, aren't even really doing the bare minimum in terms of committing to accepting a decent amount of refugees. The US is committed to about 20,000 refugees over the next several years, same with the UK. So if we want to have a discussion about pressure, why don't we have a discussion about pressuring the United States and its allies who were involved in this failed effort to take in refugees, including those who helped fight the war in Afghanistan. Now, Biden indicated that discussions were underway about the potential for remaining in the country longer, but said his goal was still to have troops out by August 31st. In fact, during a rare press conference over the weekend, he said, quote, "Our hope is we will not have to extend, but there are going to be discussions, I suspect, on how far along we are in the process." Now, here at home, within our borders, Biden is also facing pressure from war hawks like Representative Liz Cheney. Here she is with her scathing review of Biden's decision to pull troops out of Afghanistan.
Our mission in Afghanistan was to deny terrorists a sanctuary. And the Biden decision now to completely withdraw has handed them an entire country, has in fact ensured not just the Taliban, but Al-Qaeda, ISIS, the Haqqani network, terrorist organizations that want to attack the United States now have an entire country as a sanctuary from which to do so.
Is the Taliban a direct threat to the United States or not? That has been a
Absolutely.
Dispute. What makes you say that?
Absolutely. Well, we know. The facts make me say it. We know that the Taliban has never renounced Al-Qaeda. And this is one of the things that was such an indefensible step by the Trump administration when President Trump and Secretary of State Pompeo decided that they were going to sign a surrender agreement with the Taliban.
No, Representative Liz Cheney says that the Taliban poses a direct threat to the United States. She claims that, but doesn't really provide any type of elaboration on it, doesn't explain why she thinks that is, because there's really no reason to believe that, of course. Now, she's one of the members of Congress who takes in quite a bit of money from defense contractors, quite a bit of dark money, so it's hard to track a lot of it. But if you look at some of the non-dark money that's been contributed to her by defense contractors from 2013 to 2020, it's to the tune of $211,932. So she certainly has a conflict of interest here in giving this type of interview. And by the way, so does Meet the Press, which we'll get to in just a second. But Cenk, why don't you jump in?
Okay, so I'm highlighting some of the comments made by other war hawks all over television. So one of them is Kelly Ayotte, to give you a sense of how much these people almost all work for defense contractors. So what you're seeing is not news, it's propaganda. So Liz Cheney is a politician, takes over 200,000 as Anna just showed you. So now mainstream media says that is just a donation because the defense industry finds that Liz Cheney is good for our health and was in a charitable mood. Now the rest of you know what that is, and it doesn't matter if you're left wing or right wing. Those are bribes given to Liz Cheney, so she backs all the wars. And you saw her say there, I know it is a fact. And why? Her follow-up was, because the Taliban has never renounced Al-Qaeda.
That's that a direct threat to the United States?
Yeah, wait a minute. So based on their words or non-words about a group we pretty much eliminated a while back and certainly killed their leader over a decade ago, and the guy who did 9/11, because of a group that barely exists anymore, that they haven't said words about, Taliban is a direct threat to the homeland of the United States of America. That's absurd. That's beyond absurd. Chuck Dodd, if he was a real journalist there, would have said, you know, you're saying things as equally absurd as your dad did on this program when he lied us into the war in Iraq by claiming that, well, Iraq is from the general region of the people who attacked us when Iraq had not attacked us, right? So now you see her motivations because of the bribes that she gets. Yes, they're legalized bribes, but they're definitely bribes nonetheless. Now, all over television, as The Intercept has pointed out, are other neoconservatives. So I want to give you just one of those, and then Anna will give you many other details. But it's Kelly Ayotte. She's a former Republican senator from New Hampshire, and she was one of the three amigos after John McCain there was John McCain, Joe Lieberman, and Kelly Ayotte. Those were the three amigos for a while. And now why are they called the three amigos? Because they were all neoconservatives and they all loved war. And Lizzie Graham is part of that mix as well. And so now she, shockingly enough, works for defense contractors. Of course she does. And she's all over media going, oh yeah, we have to. In fact, here, I'll give you a quick quote. She says that, just like Liz Cheney did, that Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State would, quote, reconstitute in a way that could threaten our homeland in the course of 18 to 24 months. Just like Condoleezza Rice did about the mushroom cloud, that's imminent. It could happen at any moment, right? By the way, Condoleezza Rice, another person that works for defense contractors, also all over media and television talking about how we need to have more and more and more wars that would make all of them rich. Oops, they forgot to mention that part. The media forgot to mention that they work for defense contractors. Now, I bring you Ayotte first because she's on the board member of BAE Systems. They have tons of defense contracts, but one in particular I wanted to point out. They have a $2.7 billion contract for the production of a, quote, advanced precision kill weapon system, end quote, for use in Afghanistan. So they literally have a kill weapon system built for Afghanistan, and they get billions of dollars for it, and then they pay Kelly Ayotte tons of money to do that. The media never clarifies that these are all corrupt defense contractors that are telling you, oh, we gotta stay in Afghanistan so my companies can make more money. No, you never said that. That is your actual intent. They're all absolutely positively lying for their own financial benefit. And it shows you how embarrassing mainstream media is. So not only do they never disclose that and lie on behalf of defense contractors, on top of that, guys, 20 years, we killed so many civilians in Afghanistan. 250,000 dead in Afghanistan, us, Taliban, everybody else combined in killing those tons of civilians in that 250,000, right? And did you see any pictures of dead children in that time? No, because they wanted to stay. So they never showed you the kids we were killing.
Collateral damage.
Right. That's collateral damage.
That's
no big deal.
Considered collateral damage. That was literally the phrasing used during the Obama administration as he was coming under fire for the drone strikes and signature strikes that were taking out entire families at weddings and funerals.
And now that we're withdrawing, all of a sudden tragedy porn 24/7. Now, is it real tragedy? Yes. Should we highlight it? Sure. If we were being even-handed and also talked about the tragedy for 20 long years as we lost U.S. service members and hundreds of thousands of Afghan civilians. But they never showed you that because that would not have helped the defense contractors they all work for. And of course, the last piece of this puzzle is the media, who also gets tons of money in advertising from defense contractors.
Exactly.
For example, Boeing is an advertiser on Meet the Press. And Boeing doesn't actually sell anything to customers. They're defense contractors, they sell to governments, planes, satellites, etc. Why is Boeing advertising on Meet the Press? So that Meet the Press will cheerlead for war, which they just did.
Which they just did, and in the next clip featuring Liz Cheney, pay close attention to the brazen lies that she tells, while Chuck Todd stands by and allows her to spew those lies without any fact checking and any follow up. Watch.
Do you think President Biden could have gotten out of that agreement? He feels as if that it would have been that we'd have paid a high price, maybe even with more attacks on our soldiers on the ground.
I think there's no question. You know, President Biden is the president of the United States, and he's had no problem in reversing course on other things. He decided he's going to rejoin the JCPOA. He decided he's going to rejoin the Paris Climate Accord. He's reversed a number of decisions of the Trump administration. So in this circumstance, where absolutely the U.S. national security requirement was to maintain a presence on the ground, to help to, frankly, embolden and train the Afghans who were bearing the brunt of this and fighting for us. President Biden ignored the advice of his military leadership and decided instead he's going to withdraw. And all you have to do is look at what is unfolding today.
She said that Biden reversed Trump's decision on the JCPOA. That's the Iran nuclear deal. Biden not only did not reverse Trump pulling out of the Iran nuclear deal, Biden has continued on with Trump's sanctions against Iran, even though Iran followed through with its part of the Iran nuclear deal. And it continues the sanctions even during a global pandemic that's crushing Iran as we speak. So she just lied there. She just straight up lied. And there was no correction. Chuck Todd didn't correct her. There was no follow-up question about it. I mean, it is just, it's so incredibly shameful. And yes, Cenk, you look at the list of advertisers for Meet the Press specifically, and Boeing is a longtime sponsor. I'm sure that has no influence on their foreign policy reporting at all.
Yeah. For a long, long time, for decades, defense contractors and big agricultural companies would sponsor This Week on ABC, Meet the Press, and CBS's Sunday program as well. And although they never sold anything to customers, it was like Coke makes sense to advertise, they gotta get you to buy Coke. These folks are not trying to get you to buy anything, they're just doing it to manufacture consent. You don't want to lose that $1 million that Boeing or Lockheed Martin or Monsanto is giving you. By the way, in the time that that those folks are giving money, it's been tracked by journalists, and it shows you that those programs never talk about the controversial issues that those companies are involved in. That's how that bribery works. Yeah. And that's how you get lied to on a regular basis. And by the way, look at us. So we, on the other hand, are completely unbiased. Biden pulls out of Afghanistan, all the rest of the media is piling onto him. Yes, the execution is wrong in how they did the withdrawal and didn't apparently plan enough for it. That's the Pentagon's fault as always. That's the defense contractor's fault. But overall, it was definitely the right decision, and it's supported by an overwhelming majority of the American people. On the other hand, when he follows Trump's policy in Iran, that makes no sense at all.
Exactly.
And that's pro-war. And we call them out on it because policy matters, facts matter. It's not just about cheerleading for a party, a person, or one particular set of companies, which is what the mainstream media and mainstream politicians do all the time.
Well, I want to reset for one other angle to this because it's a video that we didn't cover last week, but it's been on my mind. I wanted to share it with our audience. So The media tends to have this lust for war. And now that Biden has decided to pull troops out of Afghanistan, and yes, there is chaos on the ground as people are trying to flee the country, you're seeing more and more of these White House press briefings where reporters are asking questions, pretending to be so concerned about various countries that they have never shown any concern for. They certainly didn't show any concern for all the civilians who were dying on the ground in Afghanistan through our drone strikes and signature strikes. But now all of a sudden, Tajikistan. What is gonna happen to Tajikistan? Can someone please tell me? Here's what happened during a White House press briefing recently.
Would you say that there is no interest for us having some presence on the borders of Iran, on the borders of Pakistan, on the borders of near China? Would you, or Tajikistan, would you say that we should just give that up?
I would say that the president does not believe that the United States should be fighting and dying in a war for the purpose of sustaining American military boots near Tajikistan or Pakistan or Iran. No, I would say that that is something that is not. What you just laid out as a national security interest, we would not agree that it is right to ask American soldiers to risk their lives for the purpose of maintaining a presence near Tajikistan.
Now, Cenk, I mean, I don't know, that reporter might really have a point here. Are we really gonna give up Tajikistan, the border of Tajikistan?
Yeah, I've been worried about this for decades. What's gonna happen to the border of Tajikistan?
They need our troops. They need our troops right there on the ground at that border.
Look, we would withdraw, of course, if it wasn't for the interest of the Tajik people. I have to confess, I don't know what the actual way to refer to the people of Tajikistan is. And I'm Turkic, just like they are. So I don't dismiss them as irrelevant. They're human beings like everyone else. But you're telling me that that's why we need to stay in Afghanistan? Because all of a sudden, the American empire is obsessed with protecting the people of Tajikistan and the integrity of their border. That's a beyond absurd.
Yeah.
I mean, look, and why does the media participate in this farce? As we told you last week, one of the reasons is, we get to be even-handed. We, you know, told you things about Trump because we couldn't help it, because he was saying insane things right on TV. There was no way to cover for him. So now we want to be able to say, oh no, we hit Biden hard. And this fits in perfectly, because they're all neocons. Yes, I'm talking about the press. So they're all in favor of the military-industrial complex. So they're like, great, we get to help the establishment while pretending to be unbiased. And the second reason is just flat out money. As we told you earlier in this show, Meet the Press, so many other outlets take money from defense contractors as advertisers on their programs. And then they have generals all over their programming, and including Fox News too, of course, right? And by the way, Intercept wrote a great story about it. We'll put the link down below. I mean, Jack Keane is a former general and is another great example.
I do actually want to share that example because it gives you a sense of just how biased these individuals are as they give their expert analysis on cable news and all these conflicts of interest they have. So Jack Keane is a perfect example, General Jack Keane. Just to give you a sense of what his financial interests are, he's a former board member at weapons maker General Dynamics. I'm sure that plays no role in some of his
all the millions
commentary.
He got from there, no role at all. Or his current roles.
Is a chair of AM General, the company that makes Humvees.
Used in the wars.
Exactly.
But I'm sure that the money that General Keane is getting, he would never be influenced by that. He's saintly. That's why they never even reveal that he's actually a defense contractor, as he's on their air 24/7.
And that's the thing, at a bare minimum, the responsibility of any organization that claims to be a journalistic one is to disclose to the audience what the potential conflicts of interest are, right? I mean, if they have to have this person on, fine, I guess. I think that's unethical as it is. But in the very least, you should disclose this information to your viewers. But this man has been on Fox News several times since Kabul was taken over by the Taliban, and no one knows, no one in that audience knows what his conflicts of interest are. He also sits on the boards of Kyalume Technologies Inc., which manufactures military chemical lights and other technology deployed on the battlefield in Afghanistan, and the Institute for the Study of War, a think tank that publishes defense policy proposals with the aim of, quote, developing the next generation of national security leaders, and is backed by the CACI International Inc., General Dynamics, and other defense contractors. factors. In other words, people and corporations that stand to profit off endless wars. But the audience over at Fox News would have no idea because this information hasn't been disclosed to them. You need real reporters and real journalists like the ones over at The Intercept to disclose this information on Fox News's behalf. But by the way, Fox News isn't the only offender here, okay? You see it everywhere in Fox News. I was just watching an interview that Katie Couric did with disgraced General David Petraeus, someone who had disclosed classified information to his mistress while he was working under the Obama administration. He's talking about how we need to maintain troops on the ground the entire time. Like, we need to have a permanent number of US soldiers on the ground in Afghanistan. Well, Petraeus serves on the board of Optive Security, a large cybersecurity firm that contracts with the Department of Defense, and is a partner at KKR & Co., a global private equity firm with assets in the defense sector. He also called the Afghanistan withdrawal a Dunkirk moment on Fox News and told the BBC, quote, "We should literally reverse the decision," adding, quote, "I feared we would come to regret the decision, and we already are. There's no good outcome unless the United States and its allies recognize that we made a serious mistake."
Yeah, okay, so guys, these former generals, the media is their biggest ass kissers. So when we tell you, hey, when they take millions of dollars from financial interests tied to the wars, that's a fact. We just showed you some of the connections, and like I said, The Intercept has even more details on more generals, etc., right? Meanwhile, the mainstream media is like, oh, how dare you? These are benighted angels of human beings who only care about the border of Tajikistan. That's why they're doing it. Now, who do you think is telling the truth? So David Petraeus and Jack Keane are corrupt. You can't see that anywhere else in media. You turn on cable news and you would be fired instantly if you said that on cable news. How dare you question former generals, current defense contractors? Don't you know they rule this country? Yeah, I do know that, and that's the problem. So as you saw there, Petraeus is on Fox News, but also BBC. Richard Haass, guy who used to work for Colin Powell, he's on MSNBC, all saying the same thing. Petraeus and Keane are both on the Institute for Study of War. That is the think tank that Anna told you about. That's a think tank specifically designed to create more wars and perpetuate wars for longer periods of time. So the defense contractors that fund that think tank can all get rich. And now the liars in the mainstream media will then tell you, no, defense contractors, they don't care about profits. No, they care about the good people of Tajikistan. Billions of dollars in contracts, a giant public corporation. No, it sounds conspiratorial to say that they would care about profits. No, of course not. They were doing all of this out of the goodness of their heart. No, war is a product. And people like General Keane and General Petraeus and Richard Haass are the spokespeople for that product. They do the marketing for that product. And so they sell you snake oil. But in this case, snake oil doesn't kill one or two people. It kills hundreds of thousands of people. And the people who help them market that without ever telling you the truth is mainstream media. Everybody from Fox News to MSNBC, they're all lying to you and on purpose.
When we come back, we'll switch gears and talk about how ketamine isn't the only horse medication that Americans are taking these days in response to COVID rather than getting vaccinated. Some are taking dewormers. We'll be right back.
All right, back on TYT, Cenk and Anna with you guys. I'm gonna read one comment from Twitch here. Roden wrote in, makes sense. 10 months, yay, love my Anna TV. Oh wait, TYT, I guess.
Damn, countering Melody's comments, huh?
Okay, I don't know, probably Rodan. Rodan, I see you, brother.
Rodan.
I see you, I'm right here, okay.
You don't wanna put out the red light.
Is that a thing? Apparently it's a thing now. Okay. All right, we have fun, let's go forward.
All right. The FDA is begging Americans to avoid taking horse medication that's used to deworm horses in an effort to treat or prevent coronavirus. Typically, individuals who try to obtain ivermectin for these purposes don't trust the vaccine, so instead they're turning to a horse medication that has not been proven to treat coronavirus in order to protect them. Great. So in a tweet, the FDA wrote, quote, "You are not a horse, you are not a cow. Seriously, y'all, stop it." And they provide some answers to questions people may have about ivermectin, the medication in question here. Ivermectin is a medication usually reserved for deworming livestock and is responsible for a spike in poison control calls in Mississippi as people duped by conspiracy theories have purchased the drug and ingested it, hoping it will treat or prevent COVID-19, something the drug is not proven to do. In fact, if individuals take this in large doses, and typically since this is for livestock that's much larger than humans, they will obtain it in large doses, they could have organ failure. So the consequences of this could be severe. According to an alert issued by the Mississippi Department of Health on Friday, 70% of all recent calls to poison control in the state have been related to ingestion of livestock or animal formulations of ivermectin purchased at livestock supply centers. So I look, people are skeptical of the coronavirus vaccine, which by the way, the Pfizer version of the vaccine has now been given full approval by the FDA. It's gone beyond the emergency approval. But I don't think that that's gonna matter for the people who, for some reason, are skeptical of the vaccine that tens of millions of Americans have already taken, but are not skeptical of conspiracy theorists who are urging them to take something that has not in any way been proven to be a treatment or a preventative measure for coronavirus.
I love our members, so I'm gonna read this one. Someone who likes Bernie Sanders wrote in the member section, I'm sick of the FDA constantly getting between me and my veterinarian. I mean, look, this is insane. They're like, I don't wanna take the vaccine, it's not fully vetted. So instead, I'm gonna take medicine that's meant for horses. Wait, how is that any better? It doesn't make any sense. But it doesn't have to make sense. You just have to have Fox News say it, maybe Alex Jones and some other lunatics like that. And they'll believe it, they'll believe anything. 99% of the world's doctors say that you should take this vaccine. They go, what would doctors know? Bunch of idiots. What does Sean Hannity say? Oh, I should take the thing made for horses? Oh, I need some deworming, let's do this. And that's how conservatives actually think in this country. I know it seems shocking. We can't quite believe the things that they believe, but they do. That's why they're getting all these calls, it's real.
And they are being encouraged by media figures who they trust more than medical professionals. So let's take a look at this fun compilation video of individuals who have a responsibility to the general public when it comes to something as serious as this pandemic, but consistently lie to the general public about what they should be doing to keep themselves safe.
We know that our FDA has in many ways failed us by not allowing for the use of ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, both of which are used around the world to reduce COVID hospitalizations and deaths.
I pelted them with questions about COVID-19 and the vaccine and therapeutics, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and ivermectin, as well as other proactive treatments and practices were already helping COVID-19 patients all across the country.
On June 5th, Weinstein discussed the benefits of a drug called ivermectin, which can and is around the world used to treat and prevent the spread of the coronavirus.
And you know, it was disheartening to hear one of Joe Rogan's guests also talk about ivermectin as a possible treatment for coronavirus. It's just, while being weirdly conspiratorial about the vaccine, even though he had taken it. And that is a huge podcast. You know, Rogan is not a news person per se, but he does have a giant amount of influence. And with that influence comes responsibility, especially when it comes to a deadly pandemic. But you know, when it comes to the actual healthcare professionals, when it comes to people like Mississippi State Health Officer, here's what they say about this livestock drug meant to deworm the livestock and how it's not actually effective for coronavirus. Dr. Thomas Dobbs says, quote, I think some people are trying to use it as a preventative, which is really kind of crazy. So please don't do that. You wouldn't get your chemotherapy at a feed store. You wouldn't treat your pneumonia with your animal's medication. It can be dangerous to get the wrong doses of medication, especially with something meant for a horse or a cow. And one of our viewers sent me a screenshot of a mother looking to get this drug for her 8-year-old daughter, which is terrifying. I mean, the amount of damage that's being done around this country based on this incredibly irresponsible disinformation, it just knows no bounds, and they don't care. They don't care. They love it. They love it. It helps their viewers. It helps with their viewership. It gets their ratings up. It appeals to this audience of conspiracy theorists. And as long as they're getting the ratings that appeal to their advertisers, they're good. They're good. They don't care how many people die, even if it's members of their own audience.
So we did a story once before the FDA weighed in, and all the local officials in Mississippi even said, oh, for God's sake, guys, don't take stuff meant for horses. And in that story, our viewers also sent in pictures of signs hanging up in their local stores in Texas saying, please do not take medication intended for horses and cattle. They have to explain that to right wingers in Texas, because that's how brain dead they are. So do you know that 5 vaccines are mandatory for all kids going to school anyway, including vaccines for polio, chickenpox, and tetanus? Now, we've been doing that our whole lives. Nobody ever objected to anything. But Fox News says, oh, the vaccine's terrible. All the world's doctors agree with it. It's terrible. You know how stupid doctors and scientists are. We hate them. Anything with facts, we hate, right? So instead, let's take the thing meant for horses, ivermectin.
Yeah, meanwhile, by the way, they're all vaccinated.
Oh, of course.
They're all vaccinated. Okay, there's a memo going around at Fox News saying you must be vaccinated. And if you're not fully vaccinated, you must wear a mask at all times. Even if you're fully vaccinated in certain areas like a control room, you must be masked the whole time. So they're safe. They know what the truth is. But they intentionally lie to their viewers, to the American people, about what they should do to keep themselves safe. Sorry, Jink.
That's okay. In the case of ivermectin, it is unbelievable lie. There was one study put out about ivermectin, claimed that it could help a little bit. And then it was found out that it was totally faked. The beginning was plagiarized, but much more importantly, the facts were fake. They were literally not true. So it was withdrawn, and it was humiliating. But Fox News thinks, who cares? Now, if you're wondering why would they bother lying to their audience about this? I mean, they hold stock in ivermectin. Why are they doing this? No, the idea is to break down trust with any institution in America. Mm-hmm. Anything that brings you facts. The journalists, they're the enemy of the people. Doctors and scientists, they're even worse. The government, of course, is unacceptable. The only people you should listen to is us. That's what Fox News says, right? So if I can get you to believe things that are patently absurd and that I know for a fact are 100% lies, then my propaganda has worked perfectly. Then I can get you to believe anything. And that's where we are. People are literally killing themselves because they won't take the vaccine. Almost everyone who dies in America now is unvaccinated. And Fox News looks at that and goes, oh, all these people dying, tens of thousands of people dying because they're listening to our lies. When? Now we can sell them everything we want and make so much money out of turning these people into utter fools. No, propaganda is an amazing thing, and you're seeing it right in front of your eyes. Now, when I was a kid, I used to wonder how the Holocaust happened. I mean, how could so many people believe so many insane, murderous things? Now I know. No, you just get the media to do propaganda, and they'll believe anything.
All right, let's get to our next story.
Recommend take the vaccines. I did it. It's good. Take the vaccines. But you got, no, that's okay. That's all right. You got your freedoms. But I happen to take the vaccine. If it doesn't work, you'll be the first to know.
Trump held a rally in Alabama over the weekend, and as you could see from the video, got booed when he encouraged his supporters to get vaccinated. Which is fascinating, because the original thought was that as long as Donald Trump tells his supporters to do something, they'll do it. So there's been a tremendous amount of pressure on Trump to A, admit that he's been fully vaccinated, but B, to encourage his supporters to get vaccinated. But the propaganda against the vaccine in right-wing media has been so powerful that his own supporters booed him during this rally in Alabama, which by the way happens to be the least fully vaccinated state in the country. Now, Cullman, where the rally was hosted, is experiencing a rise in cases that has matched its previous peak from late December. The city declared a COVID state of emergency to provide extra emergency support for the rally. So great use of taxpayer money there. Alabama has the lowest vaccination rate in the United States, which is just more than 36% of its population having been fully vaccinated. Governor Kay Ivey, a Republican, has said the unvaccinated folks are to blame for COVID's resurgence in the state. And I have some more pretty devastating stats for you in just a minute, but Cenk.
So this is actually the dog wagging the tail. So you hear that statement usually in reverse, but I want you to understand how these chain of events are going. The Republican politicians are way more corrupt than the Republican voters. So the politicians are worse in that case. But in terms of lack of knowledge and pure ignorance, the Republican voters are as bad as it gets. And they're even worse than their own politicians. So there's a very right-wing governor of Alabama saying, for God's sake, we're all dying and it's almost all Republicans. So what are we doing, right? They're like, boo. Wait, now they, you know, some of course have objected to what she says. Then their beloved, sainted Donald Trump comes up and says, I took the vaccine. Boo, that guy, I can't believe he protected himself. You should be more like us. And so a couple of weeks ago, I said on the show that I was gonna try not to call people morons, specifically right wingers. I've utterly failed. Because only 36% are vaccinated in Alabama. What are you guys doing, you morons? You're literally killing yourself. You're in a death cult and you don't realize it. I don't mind if you hate me. I got to try to do something to shake you out of your complacency. You're not in, you're partly endangering our lives because our kids are not vaccinated. And yes, we can get sick again even though we're vaccinated. But mainly, you're just endangering your lives because the people who are vaccinated, almost none of us die. Okay, we can get sick. But very few of us die. You guys are killing yourselves. We're trying to help you, but you refuse it. Even when Trump says it, you refuse it. So, okay, how does the chain work? Because a lot of people think Trump says something and hence Republican voters believe it. It's actually a little bit in reverse. And we told you about this when Trump was running back all the way back in 2015, 2016. Because Trump would A/B test messages in front of an audience. And whatever they liked more, he would repeat and repeat. And so immigrants are bad, right? Yeah, goddamn right, immigrants are terrible. Rapists? Yes, they're rapists and criminals, that's right, right? And so he's just a con man. He's a good con man. And so con man listens to his audience, and when they boo, he backs away. So
right, that's why he immediately followed it with, you have your freedoms, you have your freedoms.
Exactly.
And by the way, I mean, think about it. This is a rally where his supporters are in close quarters with one another. They're very close to one another, unmasked. Clearly, a giant percentage of them are unvaccinated. And so this is yet another one of Trump's super spreader events. I mean, in the very least, he's encouraging them to get vaccinated. But I guarantee you, following that reaction from his supporters in Alabama, it's probably gonna be pretty quiet in encouraging people to get vaccinated.
Yeah, and there, that's, you took the prediction right out of my mouth. But there's one other part of this chain, and that's media, right-wing media. And so today, Alex Jones was yelling at Donald Trump, and he even called him a dumbass for saying what he said in Alabama. He's like, you know, how dare you say something right once in your life? So now, because Trump said, maybe you should protect your life like I did, they're like, what a dumbass. You know we're not supposed to protect our lives, right? 40% of Republican voters, not 4%, not 14%, 40% of Republican voters said they'll never take the vaccine. So it's partly the voters themselves, then the media, Fox News, Alex Jones, etc., Facebook posts, all pushing them in insane directions like ivermectin that's supposed to deworm horses. They're like, oh yeah, they told me to take the thing for cattle. Love it, I'm taking the thing for cattle, man. I'm gonna deworm myself. And then you say, oh, how about the thing that every doctor suggested? Oh, hell no, man, doctors are stupid, Alex Jones is smart. And if Donald Trump disagrees with Alex Jones or Tucker Carlson, then he's a dumbass. So
That's what's driving this. And they're never gonna listen to reason. They're doing it out of emotion. And one of the emotions they have is rage. And so whoever feeds the rage better wins. And so Alex Jones, through his lies, Tucker Carlson, through his lies, feeds the rage better. And so now Donald Trump's behind the eight ball on rage. And that con man is not gonna sit still. He's gonna try to outflank them. So our guess here is going forward, now that he got upbraided by both Alex Jones and the mob in Alabama, Donald Trump from now on will never tell you take the vaccine again. Instead, he'll start talking against the vaccine going forward. That's our prediction. You'll see it with your own eyes as things progress.
It's the art of the deal, folks. All right, we gotta take a break, but when we come back, the COVID spike in Orlando, Florida is so severe that there's a shortage of liquid oxygen to treat patients. So people are being asked to conserve water. We've got that story and more for you when we return.
All right, back on TYT, Jenk and Anna with you guys, Casper forward.
Health officials in Florida are urging the residents of Orlando to conserve water because they have a shortage of liquid oxygen. Now, why do they need liquid oxygen? Well, there's a spike in coronavirus cases and there's a shortage, which makes the situation disastrous. Now, of course, the hospitals are overwhelmed with unvaccinated coronavirus patients who need help breathing. Now, Orlando officials are urging residents to reduce their water consumption amid efforts to divert liquid oxygen used for cleaning the water supply to hospitals for COVID-19 patients. As of Friday, the state reported a little more than 150,000 confirmed cases, surpassing 3 million confirmed coronavirus cases in that state alone. Now remember, we're talking about Florida, where Governor Ron DeSantis has banned mask mandates, essentially going against anyone trying to do anything responsible during this pandemic. And as the mayor of Orlando says, his name is Buddy Dyer, demand for liquid oxygen is extremely high as the priority is to use it to save lives and to treat critically ill patients. There are impacts to the supply that OUC normally receives. Our hospitals are experiencing the highest number of unvaccinated critically ill patients at this point as any other point during the pandemic. Many of these patients require liquid oxygen. So they're asking that people take short showers, avoid watering their lawns, do anything and everything possible to conserve as much water.
Except one thing, of course, which is—
get vaccinated?
Two things, mm-hmm. And wear masks.
And wear masks.
Because remember, the governor of Florida, DeSantis, is banning mask mandates. So he's like, look, there's so many people in the hospital that need oxygen, so many people dying from coronavirus, don't use the water. On the other hand, don't protect yourself either. Don't wear masks, be a total moron, walk around and breathe in the air of other sick people, get yourself and your family sick, and then we'll pile you, stuff you into the hospitals, have the worst rate of coronavirus anywhere in the country. You guys remember, I told you this. You remember the conservatives were bragging about how, oh, Florida handled coronavirus right, man. See, they didn't do any precautions, they nailed it. Oops, now they're the worst. They're the worst in cases and deaths. What happened to handling it right? No, they didn't handle it right, and you know that.
Well, I mean, we should have obviously been skeptical of the data coming out of the state of Florida once it became abundantly clear that anyone who was trying to put out accurate data would be targeted by DeSantis's administration. In fact, one of those women was immediately fired, her home was raided, her computer was taken away as she was trying to get that data out to people even after she was fired. But nonetheless, I do wanna show you just how well, Ron DeSantis's leadership has been working out in the state of Florida, because if you look at this graph put together by the New York Times, you'll see the massive spike in August. Toward the end of that graph, you'll see in August, you see another spike in the number of coronavirus cases, but you also see the spike carried out in the hospitalizations and also the deaths. And if you look at this map of Florida, you'll see that the entire state has become a hotspot for coronavirus. So the situation on the ground in Florida is dire, it's awful, it's a state of emergency. And I also wanna note that for those who are still skeptical about vaccines in Florida, remember, Ron DeSantis wasn't always skeptical about the vaccine, because early on, when vaccines were available, he made sure that his donors got the first chance at getting vaccinated. They were the first in line to get vaccinated. So you should ask yourselves, if the wealthy, if the elite in my state had to pay out quite a bit of money in the form of campaign donations to get first come, first serve for that, not first come, first serve, but to get served first that vaccine, maybe the vaccine isn't such a bad idea. Maybe the vaccine is something that powerful and elite people want. Maybe I should get it too to protect myself.
Yeah, I want to show you a couple of things. So when you go back to the graph about the spikes, and you see that the larger spike is in the winter, right? But this is the second largest spike ever that's happening right now in Florida. But I want to explain to you that this spike is actually worse than the one that's larger. Why? Because back then in the winter, no one was vaccinated. So that's the entire population. This huge spike that's happening now is only among 30 to 40% of the population that is not vaccinated. Mm-hmm. So that means it's about 2 to 3 times more virulent than the earlier variants. So it's spreading like wildfire overall in the state, but most especially among the unvaccinated, where it's spreading at a much greater degree than even the winter spike. Now, I just explained to you something that requires you to understand numbers just this much. So I lost every Republican in the audience. Okay, so show the Florida map again of the hotspots. And I want to explain one more thing. This is scientific. This is what dumb looks like. Dumb is not taking a vaccine that could save your life, and instead having the entire state be a hotspot and have 150,000 current cases when you didn't have to have almost any. You could have wiped it out completely. Instead, you're all dying. You're dying all over Florida just to prove how dumb you are. So you go to Trump and Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson. Have I proved it? Have I proved how stupid I am? Congratulations, you have. And now, right now in Florida, over 200 people dying every single day. Guys, think about this. Imagine if we had 200 people die in a massacre in one day. The worst massacre in American history was in Las Vegas. What, about 60 people or so died?
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. That would be 3 times more. Now you're thinking, actually, the Republicans wouldn't do anything about that either. It's a total death cult. They'd be like, yes, 200 people a day dying from guns. I love guns. I love coronavirus. Yes, that's how stupid this party has become. So lines have never been clearer, okay? But okay, so they wouldn't do anything about that. But now imagine that there was a Muslim terrorist who was bombing and killing 200 people a day, every single day in the state of Florida. What do you think would happen?
Well, that's when the racism gets triggered, and the xenophobia, exactly, and the Islamophobia. That's when all of that gets triggered. And that's when people want action immediately, right? But look, this is not, I actually do believe in individual liberty, right? So if you want to engage in destructive behaviors that impact your body and your body alone, have at it. But this is behavior that impacts everyone around you, right? And we're talking about hospitals that are overwhelmed with unvaccinated COVID patients, which means that ICUs cannot take in patients who have other ailments, patients who need care for other reasons. So we have limited resources that are being used on people who just refuse to do the bare minimum in the name of public safety, public health.
Orlando had to put out a statement saying, don't water your lawn because your neighbors are so stupid. They're dying at such an enormous rate that we have to preserve this oxygen for them. I mean, look at this. No, you got to call it what it is. The media babies Republicans. Oh, are you okay, Republican? Are you okay? Oh, you could be just as smart as a Democrat. We don't know.
They don't
we
like can't, to be
we
judged.
Can't tell.
Don't judge them. Don't.
Okay, I'm sorry. I won't judge you. As you're sitting in the hospital dying. We're trying to help you, but you won't take the help because Tucker told me not to do it. So there's no help for these guys. So what do you want me to tell you? So I guess keep dying. We tried to prevent it, but you believed in DeSantis. You'll probably vote for him again, even if you have family members who died.
DeSantis.
By the way, conservative talk show host Phil Valentine from Tennessee, longtime conservative talk show host, told people, of course, don't take the vaccine, doesn't trust it, etc. Boom, got COVID. Boom, died. Dead. He's dead. And from his hospital bed, just like the South Carolina politician I told you about last week, he's like, oh my God, take the vaccine. But it was too late for him. Now you're supposed to be, oh, my heart goes out to Phil Valentine. No, my heart doesn't go out to him. He told other people not to take it. They probably died. I don't know how many people he killed in his audience with his dumb advice, but it turns out he was one of them. But even being part of a death cult and seeing your own family members die doesn't change their minds because they're zombies. So if you want to cry about it, you can go and cry about it. But what you should really cry about is your own family members dying from an actual disease that's killing you. And you can't talk to them because they're so painfully stupid.
When we come back for the second hour, we're going to have a local reporter from Portland join us, Zane Sparling, to talk about the Proud Boys rioting in Portland over the weekend. Don't miss it. It's an important interview and we'll be right back.
Florida's ground zero for God's waiting room.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.